are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Kristy Nelson, and she's the author of Wake Up Grateful. And I wanted to talk about the breath. I consider it our portable altar, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have, I believe, received from Brother David Stenlerast a practice called Stop, Look, Go. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yes.
And in that first part of the practice, the stop practice, I thought it was so significant that you mentioned what helps us to stop is to get in touch with our breath. I'd love for you to elaborate on that.
Yes, thank you. Well, stop is what allows us to get present, right? So that presence is everything, and being just being here fully as much as we can. And the breath is this exquisite, it's like a metronome, right? It's like this, if you want to think about something that is rhythmic and ever present with us. And I personally, so I do a breathing practice where I place my hand right here underneath my clavicle. And I love this feeling, like when I speak, when I breathe, I can feel my heartbeat. There's something that's so important about grounding with the breath. So Brother David says, it's enough to be grateful for the next breath. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the breath can be this beautiful anchor, because it is, as you say, from just what we were just talking about, there is the difference between life and death is the breath, period. The breath is what will stay with us right past the heartbeat, past anything. It is what carries us through life in every single moment. And so there's something about not taking it for granted. And that's why meditation so exquisitely anchors us in the inhale and the exhale, and the observing and the being with and the attending to the breath, the inhale and the exhale. And so just stop. And it's just, it can be a simple, simple pause. And just look. Yeah.
Well, I want to say about the simple pause. I think it was just yesterday. I was speaking with my teammate and engineer, Lou Judson, and I was telling him, oh, Lou, I am so overwhelmed. I'm beyond. And I was just, I really was technologically challenged in the moment and just absolutely off the charts. And we all have those moments where we're mm-hmm. challenged like that. It just comes on like immediately, and we just feel, wow, we're just beyond being able to cope.
Yeah.
And so that practice, if we can remember to do that, and I'm watching you. You have your hand on your heart. I have my hand on my heart. Just take that deep breath. It changes our whole physiology, doesn't
Everything. It? Everything. And one breath, one mindful, attentive breath can change everything about your day. It can change your conversations. It totally changes the conversations. In the middle of a conversation, to stop and say, I'm just going to take a breath for a second. And then you keep going. It's amazing how that redirects, you know, like in all these different ways. And it allows us to reconnect with ourselves, with our bodies, with that sense of gratitude, of appreciation. So I spend a lot of time with my hand right there. And I think it's so important, because as I speak, I can feel the reverberation there. It calms the nervous system in a profound way. And so, you know, if you think when you're really stressed out and someone comes who you care for and trust and puts their hand just on your shoulder, and just rest their hand there, and you feel the, like, just the weight of the hand a little bit. It's like, there you go. And so we can do that for ourselves. We don't have to wait. And that is a beautiful practice, I think.
Absolutely. I so agree with you. And going back to gratefulness, not as a to-do list, but as an orientation. And there's a practice that you mention in your writing that I just loved, and I want to share it with everyone and have you talk about it. It was a practice. We all have that to-do list. So like I might write down and you ask us, all right, write down 5 things that you have to do today. And I would write down, okay, to do, I need to describe this interview. To do, mm-hmm. I need to join my women's group on a Zoom conference call. I need to blah, blah, blah. And so I need to. And then you say to go over that list and to cross off, I need to, and change the words to, I get to. Oh, that's so tell us about like that reframing.
It's a practice that, you know, other people have talked about. It's certainly not something I invented, but it's a core way to experience a perspective shift. And that's why I use it, because perspective is everything. Because you can take in any given moment, nothing changes except for the way that you look at it. And so what you're saying is you can feel that word beleaguered. We can feel beleaguered. It's such a powerful word. It's just like you just feel like your shoulders drop and you're carrying the yoke of the world. So that beleaguering is, I think, because we feel so done unto by life. We're at the effect of life. We're at the effect of what we have to do. We have to do. We have to do. And I find when I thought of using this and how to frame it, it was really because of this thing that I don't talk about very often, but it's that the more people we have in our lives, the more we're going to be caring for people, the more considerations we have. The more considerations you have, this is like a beautiful way to think about this. The more considerations you have, the more blessings you have in some ways, and the more responsibilities you have. So the fact of having people to consider as we make choices is such a gift and a blessing. And it also has that flip side of responsibility mm-hmm. and obligation and a lot of caregiving and a lot of other things. And so what I want to try to do all the time is taking that sense of my considerations and my considerations as blessings rather than obligations. Obligations is a burdensome, I'm obligated to this. And so I think it's very important for us to see the privilege. So it really is a place of I get to, oh my God, you know, when I look at my list of what I have to do in a day, and I think I get to do these things, and I get to do them, and I add on there often because I can physically do these things. I have the mental capacity. I can get in the car and drive somewhere to grocery shop. I have the ability to buy healthy food. I can cook, you know, so the things that sometimes feel so burdensome in a day, all the have to's, if we switch them to, I get to, because I'm actually alive today, I can do this. And someday I'm not going to be able to do these things. I didn't used to be able to do them. Not everyone can do them. And someday I won't be able to do them again. Can I really appreciate the ability to do these amazing things in my life that I do? Yeah. And it shifts everything.
I'm just thinking, one of the things that I get impatient about is having to take the time to brush my teeth. I have so many things to do today. And so what I've started to practice since I've really kind of been tuning into gratefulness, I am so grateful that I have teeth to brush.
Totally. Oh, my gosh.
That just changes the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yes. It does, because if we, anything else is taking it for granted, because the truth is someday you won't have teeth. And a lot of people don't have teeth. And we actually were born without teeth, you know? So it's like the fact that you have teeth is not to be taken for granted. And I think that's the thing, is how can we wake up to the things that we have and be really aware of those things as miraculous, as blessings, as gifts, as, and they're all temporary. They're all temporary and they're here right now. So can you go out and like hug the people, the things, the teeth, your body, just like it is worthy of our greatest celebration, and we shouldn't be quiet about it. And it shouldn't be something, if you love your life, it should be palpable to you and the people around you if you treasure your life.
Well, that takes me to the thought of community and gratefully recognizing all the people who make our life work. Mm. You know, the people who deliver our mail, who build our roads, who make our clothing, grow our food, you know, all of these people. We live in an extraordinary interconnection of community.
Yes.
None of us live alone. We cannot survive by ourselves.
Yes.
Even if we lived absolutely without other human beings, we're living within nature, and nature itself is supplying us with the oxygen we actually breathe.
And all the food, you know, the food that we eat and all of that, right? So I think recognizing those ties that bind us, recognizing the beauty of those ties and how much we actually rely on and take for granted so many people's services. The fact that we have internet, come on. The fact that we've got electricity, that we've got light, that we have running water, there are bazillions, like endless numbers of people involved in the gifts of civilization, Brother David calls us, the developments that have got us to where we are right now, the people who are servicing the services that we're able to take for granted in our daily lives. Can we spare a little bit of our appreciation for those people and the blessings of the things that keep us going? And how the idea of independence is just, it's lunacy. Like when you talk about it, you know, the idea that like, oh, I'm independent. Not at all.
Not at all. I'm reminded, I know that you've worked closely with Lynn Twist.
Yes.
And we both have known her for many decades. And she really is someone who encourages us to cultivate sufficiency. And that kind of goes against the grain of all the ways that advertising and all the media, barrage of media that says we're not enough, and we need to get more to be more. And so I know that you probably have something to say about that.
Mm. Well, I love Lynn, first of all.
Oh, we both do.
Yeah. And contentment is a radical proposition, right? To live. I think happiness is a bit of a crock that we're sold. This whole idea of happiness is really, and I should be really mindful about saying that. I think there's something deeper and more unconditional than happiness, and that is joy. And that joy is something that emanates from intrinsically, and this idea of what we need in order to be happy puts us, we're strung to a lot of things, and it's something we have to pursue and blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah.
You know, Chrissy, I'm going to interrupt you for just a moment because I really want to hear more about this, but I'm butting up against some time here.
Sure.
I'm speaking with Chrissy Nelson, the author of Wake Up Grateful. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Chrissy Nelson. We're talking about the idea of happiness may not be the sustainable thing, but joy is something that is infinite, maybe more infinite in its possibility.
And I think there's a lot, this is a much bigger conversation. It's a much bigger conversation because what we were rooting this in is this whole idea of sufficiency, this concept of sufficiency and about contentment and about being enough and having enough and how radical that is. And I think it's really important to claim that because gratefulness wants us to notice what we already have and what already is around us and what's enough and what's, and the ordinary being extraordinary. Like that, when we live into that space, then there is this sense of it being more than enough, really. That if we start paying attention to what we already have, then we're not on that hamster wheel of acquisition and having to have more and better and improved in order to feel happy and the next thing. And so there's something really, really important about gratefulness and sufficiency going together.
Well, I think that going back to earlier in our conversation, when yes. we talked about the five guiding principles, appreciation is generative.
Yes.
And is that what you're talking about?
It is. It is. And I think it's the whole, all of the principles relate to this in some way. So when you start really making an inventory of what's available to you to be grateful for in your life, and starting with the body, the natural world, the relationships in your life, the service, you know, all the things that are helping us live the lives that we live. It's so vast what we can be in appreciation of. And that appreciation is an active state of being. Like, we are asked to actively appreciate what we have, not just to walk right by all the things. And when we start to really live in active engagement and active appreciation with what we have, things come to life in different ways. Like, suddenly we realize we don't need as much as we have. And it actually makes things happen when we appreciate them, right? It's very different than the law of attraction, but it's basically, it's a multiplier. It's a sustainer. It's something that brings things to life. Any relationship, if you want to see what happens, how to improve a relationship, cast appreciation on the relationship and on the person in your life all the time and see what happens so that things start to become more than enough.
You have recast an ancient saying that's in all, practically all religions and spiritual traditions. That's the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you are recasting that in some way, Kristy. And I'd love for you to share with us what your thinking is on that.
Well, I call it the grateful rule. And partly it's because the golden rule always was confounding to me. When I did study with Harville Hendricks for a period of time, and the definition of love that he uses and is really about giving the other person exactly what it is that they need and not charging for it. So I think it's a really high, it's a high watermark for love, and it's an important one. But the golden rule really is at odds with that, because it's like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is through that portal of our own, what it is that we're wanting. So if we're constantly going through that, as opposed to inquiring of someone, what is it that makes you feel loved? What is it that makes you feel cared about? What is it that makes you feel safe? And being interested in the fact that those are going to actually be different things than are true for us. And that that's rich, and that that's beautiful, and that we can then tend people in our lives and tend relationships so much better when we understand that grateful rule, which is do unto others as they would have you do unto them.
Exactly. And what you're saying is that the other way that that rule is stated, do unto others as you
would have them do unto you.
To you. is very self-referential.
Yes, exactly.
It's like self, you're thinking of yourself. Whereas the gratefulness one, do unto others as they would have you do unto them, is like really acknowledging the other person. It's different from you, and it may be of different needs, and being, it just opens up a kind of curiosity. It opens up conversation.
Totally.
It opens up kinship in another way.
In a beautiful way, and it's so enriching. Our lives are so enriched by other people. Like, I mean, as opposed to walking around assuming that you need what I need, that's just it keeps us so myopic. And as you say, self-referential. And there's so much richness to really understanding what it is that other people need from us, and in order to feel the things that we want people to feel in life.
Then maybe I would like to talk about grief and loss. Because we've talked a bit about uncertainty and impermanence, and going back to that word poignancy, grief can often put us, if we really allow it and really allow ourselves to feel it deeply, it takes us to love.
Yeah, it does.
In some way. I mean, I from my own experience, when Michael died, I was in grief. I remember feeling, and this isn't intellectual, it doesn't come from my brain, from my cognitive mind. It came, I could feel it in my body, and I started to feel, oh, I'm so grateful that I can feel love, that I can feel this grief, because it's because I love so much. I loved him so much. I know that
beautiful.
You have thoughts of this.
Yeah, I think grief can take us to love, and I think love takes us to grief if we hold it with honesty. That because the truth is, we're so vulnerable when we love, and there is that awareness of the poignancy, the fragility that we have what we have for this moment. And it's so exquisite. And so love contains sorrow. And sorrow contains love and joy and what we treasure. We don't grieve something we haven't been grateful for. You know, and I think there's a lot of grief right now that's connected to loss and loss of individuals in our lives. There's a lot of people who are grieving, but loss of so many other things. Loss of, right now, I think our world is just in such a precarious state.
Yes.
And I think especially for young people, there are a lot of young people who are just living in a kind of perpetual sense of like a grief overlay, you know, of just the promise that's been lost for them, that sense of possibility that feels lost, and the dreams that they feel like they were supposed to be able to have in the futures. You know, there's just so much that feels really riddled right now. So I think there's something really important. I was thinking Ross Gay. Ross Gay is such an exquisite writer and poet and beautiful man. And he talks all the time about sorrow and joy. And I talk about grief and gratefulness, that they live in such intertwined companionship with each other. And if we can really be curious about how that all works, that our hearts are that big, that we can hold all of that, I think we're much the better for it.
I think of a quote that you used in your book from Valerie Carr, and she says, joy is the gift of love. Grief is the cost of love.
Exactly.
I think that really kind of, it is a measure of our capacity to love and to hold it. And I remember years ago, someone said to me, well, you know, one day you won't be with Michael anymore. And I thought, I couldn't even conceive of that, of being told that. And he said, well, either you will die or he will die.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like suddenly I woke up. And then that leads to a kind of appreciation, doesn't it?
It does.
When somebody says something shocking to you and you realize you're just kind of going on automatic pilot here. And then you go, oh, right.
One thing that I would say is that automatic pilot, the truth is when we're on automatic pilot in some way going through our lives, not deeply appreciating what is available to us and what's inside us and around us and the people and everything, we are taking those things for granted. And when we take things for granted, they are deadened to us. They are already dead. This is the thing, is there is something about treasuring and that poignancy which recognizes the beauty and the impermanence of everything that brings things alive. That's the ultimate paradox. So that's what you woke up to when that person said that, is like, oh, wow, I'm walking around expecting that Michael's going to be here forever in some way. And if I don't take that for granted, suddenly I want to go be with him in a different way. It's just a beautiful way to go through life.
Oh, beautiful. And what a great note to end on. I know we could go on and on. I just loved being with you. Thank you so much, Christy, for being with us today. I've been speaking with Christy Nelson. She's the author of Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, ChristyNelson.net. And she spells her name K-R-I-S-T-I, ChristyNelson.net. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3807.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the Donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Sam Daly Harris, author of Reclaiming Our Democracy. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about making the difference in the world you've always dreamed of making.
He could be 30. He could be 50. Life has aged him beyond his years. A shopping cart carries everything he owns. Here he comes, toward you. What you think you know about how he got here is probably wrong. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Hi, I'm